What is a cluttered aura? How can the opinion and thoughts of others get stuck in your energetic field? What is your analytical mind and why should you clean it? Learn tips to clear the clutter from your analytical mind and aura as we continue our month focusing on back to school. Does your clutter own you? Unclear your clutter inside and out. We'll teach you how to become aware of your clutter, along with action steps to declutter and create the life you desire. Come on, let's get started. Today's episode was inspired. I chose to interview Judy. Judy was my first spiritual teacher when I was just beginning the path to consciousness, enlightenment, being a better person. I could not have asked for a better teacher. I've been doing this studying and learning for probably about 15 years or so. I've studied with a lot of different people, read a lot, and I know how fortunate I was to have her at the beginning of my journey. Talk about someone who doesn't put their ego into it. She's one of the most ethical people I know. And when we graduated, the first thing she said to myself and classmates were, "We're colleagues now." She didn't see herself as above anyone. I can't tell you how significant that is because there are so many people who choose to see themselves as above you and not as equal. I'm the spiritual master and have all the answers. Judy, like me, knows that we all have the answers within, and it's just her job to help facilitate us finding that. We're at different places on the spiral. No one is better than another one. And I see this, unfortunately, a lot in the spiritual community. And if you've been listening or watching for a long time, you know I went through really not so fun thing with a mentor last year. And when I couldn't get past that, Judy was the person I called. I have been grieving something, probably the biggest challenge in my life. And Judy is who I reached out to. I've been challenged with trusting people and remembering that I had Judy was really fortunate to me because I knew I needed to support and needed to reach out. And so I'm very fortunate. Judy has a special place in my heart and always will. It's kind of like that awesome kindergarten teacher or first amazing coach or art teacher you might have had. And Judy has the best laugh ever. She has a great smile. And I know even if you're listening, you will be able to feel that. A note, Judy's going to do an exercise. I ended up doing it with her. I normally know not to do that because I can get lost. So I'm sort of out of it at the end. But if you're listening or watching, do not do the exercise unless you are at home. Don't do this driving. Today's a treat to sit back and enjoy. Metaphysical minister, clairvoyant, energy healer. Judy Nelson is a gifted spiritual clairvoyant. Her joy is helping people find their true selves so they can walk their most fulfilling path in life. Judy began her metaphysical studies in 1984 at the Berkeley Psychic Institute and continued her studies at ClearSight, an internationally acclaimed spiritual school. Judy became an ordained metaphysical minister in 1994 and a master practitioner of clairvoyance. Currently, she is teaching clairvoyant and energy programs in Los Angeles, as well as intuitive courses in Tokyo, Japan. Welcome, Judy.
Welcome. Hi, Julie.
I am so excited to interview you. As I mentioned in the introduction, you're one of my all-time favorite people, and as well as my first real teacher on my spiritual journey. So I'm very excited and honored to have you on today. But let's get started. What is an aura?
An aura is the electromagnetic field around your physical body. It emanates out of your chakra system, so it acts as an interdimensional portal for information to come into your awareness to help guide you in the highest way possible. It's also where you work on things. So if you wanted to create something in your life, you're opening up all kinds of energy in this electromagnetic field around your body to work on it, to craft it so that it is what you want to create. And the energy in the aura, the cleaner it is, the higher vibration it is, the more you're able to create what you really want in life.
Fantastic. And as I talk a lot, you know, whether you believe this from a physics perspective or a spiritual perspective, everything is energy. And so you're creating, your thoughts create your reality and all of that. And so it's really important to keep our aura clear and clean. So how does our aura get cluttered? Like, what's going on when, or maybe cluttered is not the right term. Would you call it junked up, or you use the term, I would use clutter, but please feel free to explain what you would call it and what happens when it gets cluttered. What's going on?
Clutter is an amazing word for what happens, because as humans, we're collectors. We collect thoughts and ideas, and we're picking up on other people's opinions about us and about issues, and we're weighing this versus that, and then how do I feel about it, and then how does my family feel about it, and then how does my sweetheart feel about it? So we are constantly picking up information and trying to use it to figure things out. The thing is that you truly know what's best for you, and you truly know what matches you. Mm-hmm. And it all gets really confused when you start weighing in on what everybody else thinks. So by having all that clutter in your aura, other people's beliefs, other people's opinions, other people's thoughts, you can't find your own information. Then you might make decisions based on what everybody else thinks is mm-hmm. right for you, and it ends up not being what's right for you. Your intuition and your inner wisdom really does know what's right for you. So it's easy to hear it and know it when you get into a practice of clearing that clutter out of your aura so that you can get in touch with your own information that works best for you.
I absolutely love that. When I work with a client, I say to them, you know what's best for you. I don't. It's simply my job to support you in figuring out what that is. Now, if someone is new to this, Judy, and the concept of having an aura, how would they know? And I think you did a good job of explaining it a little bit, but are there any ways to tell that the aura is kind of cluttered? When we're going to get into the analytical mind a little bit later, but would it be because you're indecisive or you maybe overwhelmed, or are there any ways to tell that our aura is cluttered? What would be for someone who's just new to this? How would they know? Does that make sense?
The first indicator, oh, totally makes sense, because for many people, you know, how would you know? So there are some indicators for when your aura is cluttered, and you can tune into that. And the first one really is that you feel sleepy. When you feel sleepy and just foggy and sort of out of it, or, you know, spacey or daydreamy, your aura is cluttered. You're just not able to tune in because you got all this stuff around you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second indicator, definitely decisive. I just can't make up my mind. I've got my friend's voice in one ear. I've got my family's voice in another ear. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. So indecisiveness is definitely an indicator. Another indicator is just feeling heavy. I don't know why. I just feel like I'm wearing a blanket over me. And I don't know what that is, but I just feel heavy. So that heaviness is clutter. You're carrying weight in your aura of other people's information and energy. So those are three or four indicators.
Outstanding. So we've got this auric clutter. How are some ways that we can clear it?
Wow. That is an amazing question, because there are some really easy ways to clear it. The first is exercise. That's just something we should be doing anyway for our health. Mm-hmm. But what happens when you exercise, you're not only getting your circulation going, but you're getting your energy going. And your energy is releasing, just like you're sweating and you're releasing toxins out of your body. Even if you don't know how to meditate, exercise is a really great first step. The second really effective way to clear a clutter is to learn some simple techniques in meditation of grounding and centering and releasing. They're not complicated. They're easy to use. I teach them all the time. And it's amazing how once you start using these skills, you can feel really good right away. Like it shifts your energy right away. So that is a really effective way. Now, I teach skills, but there are many people all over the world, all over the internet, that teach these skills, and you can do a lot of your own research, Googling, and, you know, meditation skills, free downloads, and really start working with them sometimes as much as or as little as 5 minutes a day, building up to longer times. Another way is to take a class with a wonderful teacher that you may find in your area, or yoga, because this centers you and stills your energy and allows you to start clearing your clutter. So those are some easy ways that you can start to do that for yourself.
Fantastic. What I call when I notice that I'm off is I feel like I've jumped off a bridge on a bungee cord, and I'm like, rear, 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 rear. And I'm like, okay, I think we need to take a break now and do something. And one of the things that you taught me was doing this daily, to have daily exercises. And like you said, it's only 5 minutes a day, but it all adds up. And you can tell when you're off, when you haven't done it. Like, I know I get cranky, that tense or the bungee feeling when I'm like, okay, you got to take a step back here and do a little bit of self-care here.
Yes.
All right. So that's fantastic. So the other topic that I want to talk about today is our analytical mind. Now, the first question I have is this something, are there other words to describe it besides it? Or one, I'd like you to define what the analytical mind is, but is it something that other people might term ego or mental body, if that makes sense? What exactly is our analytical mind?
From a spiritual perspective, analytical mind really defines it, because you're analyzing information, you're taking it apart little bit by little bit, you're looking at it, you're weighing it, you're seeing how it fits. But its purpose is to keep you safe emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So it serves a purpose to help you, and that purpose is really great when you're planning a trip and you need to get from A to B, or you're balancing your checkbook, you know, all those things that where the logical mind really helps you. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the bigger life decisions, like, should I marry this person? Is this job really matching my highest growth as a person? The analytical mind has a nice level of information, and it's helpful. But the spiritual level has like a really high level of information that looks at the big picture, looks at your karmic journey and what your soul's learning. So we want to understand our analytical mind. We want to use it when it's needed, but we want it to quiet down when we want to get to that higher level of information. That's very helpful for you and will help you make better decisions in life.
Started to organize and got stuck? Need questions answered or customized solutions? Looking for a professional organizer to bounce ideas? Go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com to learn how Julie Caraccio can help.
The ego can be involved in the analytical mind, but remember that the ego, which is, I want to feel good about me, is there to also protect you emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and physically. And if I can make me feel good about me, then I'm going to feel real safe in this world. So it's something that we want to love and work with, but put it in its place. Like, you know, I want to understand you and what you're trying to do for me, but you are not my ruler. You are not running my life. So all these different aspects of us are necessary. They're part of who we are, but they want to be accessed and utilized when it's appropriate and helpful, and not when it's limiting to you, and when your spiritual self could do a much greater job in guiding you.
Now, can you share with us, this popped into my head when you were talking, and I'm going to share a very kind of silly example, but it just happened to me this morning, because I want to talk about how do we know when it's our intuitive soul, higher self voice versus the analytical mind. So I'm playing cards with my husband, and I'm competitive, working on that. I really like to win. And so we're playing double solitaire. And in this game, if you make a mistake, you can be given cards. And every single game, my husband gives me cards because I make a mistake. So I really like to win in this particular game. So at the board at the top, a card came open. And I put the jack up. And as I'm thinking about, what's the next card going to be? And you want a king at the top because you build down from that. And I didn't listen to my intuition. And I put the jack up, and the next card was a king. And I laughed, and I said, I didn't listen to my intuition. Now, that's a really kind of fun, minor thing, and the competitive side wanted to win. But I know I'm not alone, and that in a situation like that, I lost the game, big deal. But on more important things, like, you know, really, who is this the right job, or who should I marry, or can I trust this person? The analytical mind takes over. So how do we know, I guess, how do we know the difference between the analytical mind and our soul or intuitive voice speaking?
It takes practice, because our analytical mind has been in charge for our whole life. So it's used to being the strongest voice that you hear. So you want to start practicing through the activities that I've mentioned. So let's say we use exercise, for example. After you exercise, then you sit for a moment in this nice, relaxed, calm state, and you call in your spiritual self to come right above the top of your head to really dialogue with you, and you ask it a question about your life or about a relationship, and you listen. That's how it starts. In meditation, you clear, and then you ask a question, and you listen. That's how it starts. Now, it starts as a whisper, because it's your spiritual self is saying, well, you've been listening to me for all these decades, you know, are you going to listen now? So it starts as a whisper. But then with practice, the whisper grows to a conversation. And then there are times where it'll just yell like, no, don't stop. So that takes practice, and that takes building that relationship and trust. A lot of times your spiritual self sees this huge picture way beyond what the analytical mind can see. And it will give you an answer that doesn't feel logical. So you're not used to trusting it. Well, it's seeing so much more, and it's basing its information on so much more that the analytical mind can't even be aware of. So it may not make logical sense. Like, there might be a king coming up next. Yeah, right. But it saw it, and it saw the big picture. So we want to really start to trust those whispers that grow into a conversation, that grow into, I'm going to just drop this information in because you really need it right now. And let it be a beautiful blossoming of your relationship with your higher self through these activities. Meditation is the fastest way to make the whisper grow to a conversation.
I moved to Raleigh because the program that I did with Judy, and probably a month or two, I was meditating and I heard move to Raleigh. Now it took a year for everything to kind of come together and happen. And I trusted that. Everyone thought I was nuts, because they're like, why would you leave LA? And, you know, why would you move to the South? Okay, fair question from all. But I knew enough, especially since I was as clear as I could be at that point in my life. I knew, okay, that's my inner voice. And to debate it, to not challenge it. I've had my great moments in my life where I've listened and I haven't debated and I haven't challenged it. And so, like you said, meditating and practicing is so important. So can you share with us ways, how does our analytical mind become cluttered? How does it get filled with all that junk and stuff going on?
Our analytical mind started this process as a very young child. As a very young child, you have your impulses and urges, which are not always understanding how the world works. So my ball went across the street, I want to run and get it. That's, you know, your analytical mind going, let's go get the ball, when in fact you need to learn to look both ways before you cross that street. So you do need to learn. So you're being taught by people, by your family, by your teachers, by your neighbors, by your other friends, and you're getting a lot of input. And some of that input is definitely needed to keep you able to function well in the world. What happens is that that input starts to be all you hear. So it all goes in, and the wisdom that wants to also come in is, you know, not listened to. It's not feeling logical. It's not coming from all these sources I'm used to it coming from. I'm taught not to trust that voice. I remember being about 3 years old or so and turning to my mom and saying, Mom, why are you mad? I knew she was mad. And her saying, I'm not mad. So now I'm not trusting my intuition and my way to sense energy and information because I'm being told that I'm wrong. Like, don't listen to that. I'm not mad. But she was mad. So, you know, all our life we're taught not to listen to our information, our intuition. So we stop. Everything then goes in. Clutter, clutter, clutter. No room for our wisdom, our voice. So now, as an adult, you are seeing, wait, people aren't always telling me the truth. Wait, people aren't really owning up to what's going on with them. I'm picking up on it. And you know what? I'm starting to see that I'm right. And I need to, like, start clearing away all this other information because I'm going to operate better now in the world by following what I know is really happening.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, you had mentioned a moment ago, meditation, exercise. Are there any other ways for us to clear the clutter in our analytical mind that you'd recommend? And I love these examples because everyone can exercise. Even if you don't belong to a gym, you can go outside and walk. You can, a lot of us have access to computers, and so you can download yoga on YouTube. If there's a video for it, YouTube has it. I've been amazed at what I can find on YouTube. So those are things that we can, no excuses. We can take action and do these things. So are there any other things you'd suggest besides exercising and meditating?
Yes. Journaling. Just getting that paper and pen out and start just writing down thoughts, ideas, what comes through in a really quiet space where you make it kind of a ritual to take 5 or 10 minutes, create quiet, maybe put on a little incense, you know, light a little incense, look at nature, look at some beautiful, you know, plants growing outside your window, settle your energy down a little, you know, with breathing and, you're right, and then taking time to just start journaling of whatever comes to you, writing in your journal. Oh, that's so powerful. Being in nature is incredibly powerful. So taking your hikes, you know, always being safe in where you go and, you know, just being safe. I always like to remind people to do so. But nature is a natural centerer, a natural grounder, and a natural settler of our energy. There are some wonderful herbs that are not hallucinogenic or anything like that, but are gentle ways to relax our energy that don't have toxic side effects or anything. One of the herbs that you can make as a tea is Damiana. Most people have not heard of it, but it's lovely. And it calms the nervous system, it slows down your energy, and just drops you into the zone. There are some other herbal teas like that, like Blue Lotus. So maybe exploring some of the natural things that occur and grow on our planet that are non-addictive and non, you know, hallucinogenic or anything like that, that are really actually healthy for you to be drinking, but also just relax you into that way to tap in to your own spirituality.
And I've also noticed when I'm doing a practice regularly, it just flows. Like I use a term, it feels like boom, drops into my head. Mm-hmm. It's just there. And I'm not fighting. I'm not like, give me answers, da 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 da. But if I do that regular meditation, then it comes in. I don't even have to ask. And then like, but because I'm paying attention and know, okay, that's my sovereign self, that's my higher self, that's the intuitive that's coming in.
Yes. Because the whole idea with spiritual connection with yourself is not to be talking so much with your higher spiritual self, but rather to be still so that you can hear.
Now, would you be willing, and this is your choice and anything you'd want to do, would you be willing to lead us in an exercise? Does the thought of clearing your clutter overwhelm you? Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out has 21 standalone chapters to fit your schedule and lifestyle. Stop being afraid, gain clarity, and go at your own pace. The Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out workbook lets you record your thoughts step by step as you go through the book. Free MP3 meditation with purchase. Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com and also available for purchase on Amazon.
In the style that I work with, we do our meditation sitting in a chair with your shoes off so that as your feet are flat on the floor, they can start to naturally open up the soles of the feet, your feet chakras, and connect with the earth energy. In meditation, you are really connecting two parts of who you are. There is a part of you that is very much of this earth and vibrates with the natural energy of the earth. But there's another part of you that is very spiritual and vibrates with the energy of the universe. So in meditation, you want to connect with the earth and then you want to open up to your higher spiritual self and the universal light and level of information. So by sitting in a chair, feet flat on the floor, you're starting to connect with the earth. Then you want your palms face up on top of your thighs with your fingertips not touching. And that's because you have chakras in the palms of your hands, but you also have chakras in each of your fingertips. And once you start meditating, everything opens up and starts to just release and receive information and clear. So you want to have those hand chakras face up, palms face up, fingertips not touching. Then you want to close your eyes because your focus is now turning inward. And that ability to tune out the external world and start tuning into the internal world will happen as you close your eyes. So if you'd like to do this right now, just sit comfortably in a chair, shoes off, feet flat on the floor, palms face up on top of your thighs, fingertips not touching.
And remember, this is recorded, guys, and so you can watch it again and again. So if you're driving, I know some of my listeners drive and listen to the podcast, so please do not do that now.
Thank you. Yes, you certainly do not want to do this while you are driving. You also want to do this in a private space where people aren't going to be looking at you going, are you meditating? Ooh, what are you doing? And then they kind of throw their energy on you. So you want to be in a nice, quiet space by yourself, okay? Feet flat, palms face up, close your eyes. And meditation can really drop in as you start to slow your breathing. So you want to inhale gently, exhale through pursed lips to slow down your exhalation. And just take about two or three breaths in that manner. Image that you have roots growing out of the soles of your feet, down through the floor, down through the earth, going deeper and deeper into our beautiful, rich earth, all the way to the center of the earth, where there is a very huge ball and you root directly into it. As you root into the earth, you start to naturally become in harmony with the earth's vibration, which is full of vitality and healing and nurturing. Your first chakra is located around the base of the spine and holds life force energy. So you are going to image that energy extending your tailbone like a rope or a tree trunk down through the chair, down through the floor, down through hundreds of miles of earth to the center of the earth and root in. Your grounding cord is flexible but strong, and it shifts because you tell it to. So you want to have your grounding cord be at least 6 inches in diameter, not some skinny little cord, but some nice, thick, fat, strong grounding. So shift it now to be 6 inches in diameter by telling it to be so. Place a ball of golden light under your body and let it sink down your grounding. And as it sinks down, it gently, gently cleans it off and goes all the way to the center of the earth, where any unwanted energy will melt or explode into usable light. Send that ball of light down your grounding cord. In order to clean the clutter in our analytical mind, we're going to place our conscious awareness in the center of our head. So you're going to image an imaginary line from the top of your right ear to the top of your left ear through the center of your head. Another imaginary line from the front of your forehead to the back of your head through the center of your head. Where the two lines intersect, create a little chair that's so comfy, put it right on that spot. Now image yourself about 2 inches high, sitting down in that chair. This places your conscious awareness in the center of your head, right behind your beautiful third eye that can see energy, and where you are not in your analytical mind, but rather in your intuitive mind. Now, the front of your forehead can open and close because you have your third eye and your sixth chakra right there. So I'd like you to open it like the lens of a camera. And in front of you, about 3 feet or so, I'd like you to place a big golden box. You're sitting in the center of the head. Turn on the lights and take a look around to see what you hold in your analytical mind. You might see other furniture in there, like a desk, a lamp. You might see stacks of papers of all the projects that you're working on. You might see visitors floating around like their little face bubble floating around inside the center of your head, your analytical mind. You might see cobwebs, fog. There's all kinds of interesting things you might see in there. Ideally, we want that whole space to be just you sitting in a chair. So anything else is going to be taken out the front of your forehead and dropped into that golden box. So take all your thoughts out, drop them in the box. Take all the visitors out and drop them into the box. Any projects, papers, furniture, take it out right out of the center of your forehead and put it in the box. Any fog, cobwebs, blobs of color floating around in there, just scoop it all out with that beautiful hand of yours in the center of the head. Extend it out the center of your forehead, drop it in the box. Then put a lid on the box, and you're going to place that box on a beautiful raft on a beautiful ocean and push it and let the tide carry it out to sea. You can watch this with your third eye as the tide carries your box further and further away. It looks so small, further and further away, further and further away, until it's gone. Whenever we clean and clear, we want to bring in divine light to fill that space with the highest vibration possible. And what we found in our spiritual practice is that golden light is the highest vibrational essence that exists in the universe. So, place a beautiful big golden sun above your head. Now gently sink it right down into the center of your head, surrounding you, sitting in that little chair in the center of the head. Filling up that whole space with beautiful sparkling golden light that extends out into your brain. We've talked also about clearing our aura of clutter, so we're going to do a very quick add-on to this meditation for your aura. Violet light is an amazing clearer of energy. So place a violet colored sun above the top of your head. Ask any energy in your aura around your physical body that you're ready to release to turn bright red. Sink this violet colored sun down through the aura, melting around you, and pulling the bright red down, down, down. As the violet sun sinks down, it absorbs the red all the way down to your toes and down your grounding roots all the way to the center of the earth. Pulling that out, pulling it out, sinking it down, down the grounding cords. When the violet sun reaches the center of the earth, all of that energy melts or explodes into usable light. Now let's fill up our aura with that highest vibration of golden light. So place a golden sun above your head and sink it down into your aura around your body, and it fills up all of your aura so that you are filled down all the way to your toes in 360 degrees around your physical body, in front and behind, on right and left side, above and below. Take a moment and just breathe in the gold light. Now, when you're ready, just open your eyes. Notice how nice you feel.
That was awesome. So thank you, as usual. Yeah, it was really great. That was fantastic. So what I'd like to wrap up with is what take actions. I mean, this was, my analytical mind really needed a nice old scrub there. So I'm grateful for that. Everything needed clean, quite frankly. And the first time actually that I ever felt energy was with you and being amazed at that and feeling it in the palms and the swirling and like, wow, it's real. It really exists. So I think that's a lovely thing. One thing that's really important to me when I do this podcast is for people to take action, because if you just listen and never take any action, then life's not going to change. So this meditation, I think, to do every day would be a great take action. But what would you say to people listening? What are the take actions that you'd like to share with them?
The first thing that I would like to share is that we are so good at taking care of everybody else that we forget to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then we're less helpful to the world because we're kind of a mess.
We're
overstressed, we're overbooked, we're over everything, right? So the first takeaway is to realize that self-nurturing is an amazing thing because it allows you to be the best of service to the world. And to start to carve out that time, whether it is the meditation, whether it is the exercise, whether it is the quiet journaling, whether it is the yoga class, whether it is a weekly hike, self-nurturing is the takeaway, because that's what this is all about. When you want to clear, that's self-nurturing. That is you getting back in touch with the divine within you, so that you can be of service to the world. Yes. The second takeaway is that people do well when things are scheduled in, and they don't do well when they're not. So if you schedule in these ideas of self-care, meditation, or some kind of ritual to clear, then you're going to actually sit down and do it. So my takeaway to you is schedule it in. And make it as part of a ritual in your life. Like, part of your ritual is you get up, you brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. Well, part of your ritual can be you get up, you sit down, you meditate, or you have these 3 days a week where you do this self-care for yourself. So I believe that if you do those things, you're going to shift your energy and shift your life and your health, and your well-being and happiness.
Fantastic. Now, Judy, please tell people, where can they find out more information about you?
I have a website. I'm based out of the Los Angeles area in California, and I have a website, www.judyenelson.com, Unleashing Human Potential. And through that website, I can do consultations with you via Skype, via Zoom, via FaceTime, via phone, no matter where you are, basically in the world, because I work with people all over the globe.
And so it's Judy, JudyEnelson.com, right?
Yes. And then because there are many Judy Nelsons in the world, you want to put in the little Unleashing Human Potential, and that'll take you to the link to my website.
And we will, in the show notes and on YouTube, have a link directly to your site. And now, I know you're teaching classes. I'm telling this because I'm hoping Judy does online classes. And maybe if I put that out there, that maybe, because right now you are doing classes for the Los Angeles area, and you'd have that on your site, right?
Yes. And I actually have people take my classes by remote through Skype, or through, usually through Skype is how we do it. And so there are many, many classes that I teach that are accessible that way. And then for those that perhaps have a booking at that time and cannot be available, they are audio recorded with a PowerPoint handout so that you're able to take the course often by audio accompanied by the PowerPoint handout. And that way you're still able to get the information and learn the skills if you're not able to attend the class in person or, you know, remotely.
And I highly recommend them, whether you're in the LA area or doing, I didn't know it could do remotely. So we'll have a chat after this, but I, you know, guys, I'm all about clear and clutter and I have all my manuals and everything from what Judy taught me. And I'm down to like one box of memories, you know, a small box, and I don't count my classwork in that, but it's, you know, I talk about this all the time. It's clearing the clutter of what's not important. And this stuff's important to me. So the fact that I've held on to it for 15 years, she's a fantastic teacher.
Thank you so much. And how amazing you have become a teacher, Julie, for so many people who are accessing you and what you offer. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It was great seeing you and having you on. And hopefully I'll get you to come on again soon.
Thank you. My pleasure, and good luck to everyone. Feel free to email with questions, comments, and inquiries anytime. Thank you.
On our next episode, we're talking about tackling the family calendar. Go out, clear the clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. Clearing your clutter allows you to share your gifts with the world. Get your free self-assessment to discover your clutter priority at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, please rate, review, and share us.